The frost on the window was so thick I couldn't see the street for a moment, and I thought about just rolling over and staying in bed. But the plan for today was too good to abandon. I had a date with the Sierras de Cordoba, specifically with the Quebrada del Condorito, and the clear, cold air was perfect for it. I pulled on my warmest layers, laced up my hiking boots, and headed to the terminal to catch the early bus up into the hills. The bus dropped me at the trailhead around 9, and let me tell you, it was properly cold, maybe 2 degrees, with a wind that cut right through you, the kind of cold that makes your nose hairs stick together with every breath. There were maybe a dozen other people there, all bundled up like me, and we all just nodded at each other before setting off. The first stretch of the trail is a steady climb over bare, rocky slopes. It gets your heart going and your blood moving, which is exactly what you need on a morning like that. After about an hour of walking, the path flattened out along the top of the plateau. That's when the landscape really opened up. The canyon, the Quebrada, just drops away below you. It's a massive gash in the earth, with these dramatic rock walls that are 1,000 feet deep in places. And then you see them, the condors. They're just there, soaring on the updrafts that rise from the canyon, their wings spread wide, barely moving as they circle. It's a humbling thing to watch, to see something that huge move with that much grace, with zero effort. I found a spot on a rocky outcrop and just sat there for a long time. I pulled out my thermos of mate, wrapped my hands around the warm gourd, and watched the birds. One came surprisingly close, gliding by not too far above my head. You could see the individual feathers at the tips of its wings, see the way they curved and flexed as it caught the wind. There was a guide there with a small group, and I overheard him saying the wingspan can reach over 3 meters. I believe it. In that moment, I felt incredibly small, but in a good way. I didn't want to be anywhere else. It was pure silence up there, except for the wind. No city hum, no traffic, no voices. Just the wind and the occasional cry of a bird. It's a sharp contrast to the world I've been living in for the past 2 weeks. Buenos Aires is a city of endless noise and motion. Cordoba has its own energy, but it's a different, more manageable hum. But this was a different planet entirely. The walk back to the trailhead felt quicker than the walk out. This was one of those perfect, clear winter days. The light was pure, the air was dry, and my cheeks were stinging from the cold. I was on the bus back to the city by early afternoon, feeling that satisfying kind of tired you get after a proper walk. The kind that comes from your body doing something real. Back in Nueva Cordoba, I needed a serious lunch. After that hike, I was starving. I stopped for a corapan at a little roadside spot near Parque Sarmiento. I know I've mentioned it before, but when it's that good and that fresh off the grill, it's hard to resist. It was warm, a little greasy, and perfect. That was about 6,000 pesos, which is still a bargain. You know, it's weird. You hear about inflation in Argentina constantly, and you live it every day in small ways, but stand in front of a street cart and get a chorizo sandwich that good for a few dollars, it makes you feel like you've gotten away with something. That afternoon, I decided I'd earned a bit of culture. The city is buzzing with stuff. There's some kind of basketball tournament happening, something I'm told is called Law Crossover. Apparently, it's a big deal, with slam dunks and a 4-point line, coached by the Argentine player Campazzo. I'm not a huge basketball person, but I could hear the bass thumping from the Polideportivo Carlos Cerruti as I walked past. The vibe outside was electric, mostly students hanging out, selling tickets, and talking loudly. I peeked in for a few minutes, and it was pure showmanship, a real contrast to the quiet of the canyon. Instead, I wanted to find a quieter piece of the city. I bought a coffee at Fox, Cafecito de Especialidad, a tiny place tucked into a side street near my flat. A cappuccino, there was about 5,000 pesos, and it was one of the best I've had since getting here. The barista was a young guy with a tattoo of the Sierras on his forearm. I sat by the window and watched the city go by. Students with backpacks, a couple of old men arguing about something, a mother with a toddler in a stroller. The daily, mundane life of the city. The cold crept in as the sun went down, and the night got that sharp, crystalline quality to it. I had planned to spend the evening at one of the Folklore Penis, the places that host folk music and are so much a part of the culture here, especially in the Sierras. I asked around and ended up at a place on the edges of the Gimes Barrio. The initial cover charge was a bit more than I expected, but it included a glass of wine from the Calchaquí Valleys, which was a nice little hint of what's to come on this journey. The Peña was a big, warm room with wooden tables and a stage at the back. There was a group playing traditional music, with guitars, a bombo, and some charango. The musicians were good, and the room was full of people of all ages. Couples dancing, groups of friends toasting each other, a few old folks just tapping their feet. The air smelled of wood smoke and wine. I ordered a bowl of locro, the classic winter stew of corn, beans, and meat. It's heavy, it's rustic, and it is exactly what your body wants when it's freezing outside. That cost about 9,000 pesos, so maybe $10, and it was the most comforting thing I've eaten in a long time. Sitting there, surrounded by the sound of the bombo and the warmth of the stew and the low murmur of voices, I felt something I hadn't felt in a while. A sense of place, of belonging to a moment. This wasn't a show for tourists. It was a local winter ritual. I ended up talking to the couple next to me for a while. They were from a small town in the Sierras, and they came into the city once a month to catch a peña and visit their daughter who studies at the university. They asked me about the trail to Quebrada del Condorito and told me I was lucky to have caught such a calm day. They told me about their town's own festival in the summer, which you can only reach on a dirt road, and where everyone just brings their own asado and it goes all night. It was a reminder that this city and everything around it is just a small part of a vast, varied country. Walking home through the quiet streets, I got to thinking about the cost of things here. A night in a guest house is around 60,000 pesos. The menu del día at a local spot will set you back around 23,000. It all sounds like a lot, until you remember it's roughly $65 and $25, respectively. It's this weird economic quantum state. The gap between the official rate and the blue dollar rate means you can live well here on a lot less than you'd think if you're coming from elsewhere. You just convert everything in your head. I find myself doing it less and less now, my brain just accepting the peso as the unit. As I turned onto my street, I could see the lights of the city center still glowing and the sounds of a car horn or two echoing off the buildings. It's a good city, Cordoba. It's got history, it's got a vibrant, student-driven culture, and it's the perfect base for the adventures further north if you're starting from Buenos Aires. I've got a few more days here, and I know I'll fill them well. There's a hike to a Jesuit estancia on the UNESCO World Heritage Route, and I want to spend an evening at the Paseo del Buen Pastor, just to see the lights on the old chapel. There's a rhythm to this place, and I feel like I'm finally starting to sync with it. It's slow, it's warm, and for now, it's home. The Sierras will still be there in the morning, quiet and cold under the winter stars. And I'll be there to meet them again, maybe with a fresh jar of mate to share with the condors.